All right, good morning, y'all. Come on in. I was so going to wear. I had my assistant. Y'all know I love women's best workout clothes. I got their tights on underneath this jacket. I got this workout shirt on. I swear to God, I can't say good enough things about women's best. I buy all their shit. Well, anyway, I ordered the matching jacket, like a little jacket that goes with this whole outfit. And I had my assistant, who has a neighbor who does embroidery, put the No BS logo on it. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna wear this today. This is gonna be great. And so I'm getting ready, and my brother and I were going to church, and I had that jacket on, and I literally just did a fit check in front of the mirror, and I thought, you can't wear a jacket to church that says No BS. So I put on my Nike jacket and I didn't get to wear it today. So anyway, I'm just like, I am such an ass clown, I swear to God. Or as I was telling everybody, I coined a new phrase, ask how. I don't know how that even came out my mouth, but I had a 4-day in person here with people who were from my other membership who do they're building coaching businesses. And some reason I blurted out I was being an ass cow, and that became the new phrase of the day over there. All right. So this is what we're doing. If you want coaching, you need to raise your hand so that you can get coaching today. We can coach on anything. One topic I would love to coach on, if somebody is willing to lay themselves down on the sword, is something that I posted about in both Facebook groups. So I posted it in our main one, and then we have a small Facebook group for all the people who joined in January as you're going through your first 90 days with no BS. It's about the 24-hour plan. There are a lot of you who don't want to plan because you think it's restrictive. You don't like planning because you feel like it limits you. Like you just have this visceral reaction. So you're trying to do 75% of the basics and lose weight. Now, for some people, that can happen, but it's usually because they don't need a plan to begin with. In their minds, they already know what they're going to eat. They have a really good way of kind of staying within their own guardrails of like things. But for a lot of us, we need the 24-hour plan. We need it desperately because we only eat foods we like when we are in a bad mood, when we are desperate, when we have restricted for way too long. Like the only times we include them are during those times. For some of us, we need the 24-hour plan because we really don't know the subtle hidden food rules that we're carrying around. And so every time we eat, we have like what I just call low-level anxiety. We're not anxious or totally restricted or having like the like stuff we big time notice, but we always feel a little on the edge around food. And because we don't plan, we don't have to like say we're going to eat these foods and stuff. We don't even know that we're holding on to, well, I probably am eating too many carbs. I mean, it's like dying by a thousand cuts. Some of us, we just have like, we know that we have these food rules and we're like, oh my God, I still believe this. And for some of us, we don't even know we're believing it. But when we start doing a 24-hour plan, we start noticing, we start cutting out things that we like. We start thinking, ooh, I shouldn't eat that much. Ooh, I shouldn't do this. Like, we don't even know we're doing it. And then the other people that need a plan, is for our flexibility people. Some of you think that having a 24-hour plan means you get no flexibility. And so you have obviously not listened at all to the 24-hour plan lessons in a long time. And if you've been in the membership and you did start this year, you really didn't listen. Because in start, I talk about spirit of the law and what that means. So what happens is that for a lot of you need the 24-hour plan because you need to have occasions where you need to change your plan and you need to see yourself making good choices and good decisions based in sound reasoning. And you need to see the times where you're so black and white that you have no wiggle room, that if you break the plan, you fuck the rest of the day up. And when you stop planning, you don't see that you're continuing a pattern in your life where you have zero tolerance for mistakes, that you only beat yourself up when you make them. And that is our fourth candidate for needing a 24-hour plan. And that is the person who is a complete bitch to themselves, who has zero compassion. I'm on track or I'm off. I don't have a minimum baseline. I have perfect day plans, or life's a shit show and I just can't do anything. That is no way to live. There's no way to live that every time you don't do something the way you think you should, that the first reaction is that you beat yourself up, you freak out, you overcorrect, you restrict the next day, you fuck the rest of your day up. You just quit and give up. How are you ever supposed to not be that person if the only time you ever make plans or do good is when you're like, all right, I found like 3 days of my life where everything's going to be working in my favor. So now I better lose weight during those 3 days because, you know, the rest of the next like 14 days, life is lifing. And I'm not learning how to like lose weight while life is lifing. I have no flexibility with myself. I don't have a minimum baseline. I don't have a plan for days when life is hard and when days when life is like, it would be easy for me to give it more than I normally do. How are you ever supposed to do that, sitting back and refusing to do half the shit I tell you? Somebody answer that for me in the chat. How are you ever going to lose your weight by sitting around cherry-picking what you want to do based on, I don't have a tolerance for finding what's broken in my life right now, what's broken in my eating. The only, like, my method doesn't work unless you're willing to find those things, because our job is to find those things and then solve the real problems. Everything that this eating is illuminating for us. It's illuminating. I don't have a great relationship with myself. When I mess up, I'm so mean to myself. How are we supposed to fix it if you just keep taking away the things that trigger you to be a bitch? We need to trigger the bitch, and then we have to learn how to talk to the bitch. We have to calm the bitch down. We have to do that so many times that now it becomes more natural to not be a bitch to ourselves. How are you ever going to get there if you are smoking crack on the daily thinking that somehow we're going to do enough work to where you never make a mistake so that you can then lose your weight without having to be a bitch to yourself? Welcome to being a crackhead, because that's all that's going to happen. Y'all are going to have to be willing to see where things go wrong and not make you wrong anymore. And decide, when I see things that go wrong, that doesn't mean something's wrong with me. That is how I've always thought about it. Now, I want to find what's missing, because that's what's happening. There is a void. There is something I need. There is something there. And coaches will help me find it. I don't even have to do it by myself. This is the good news. Ain't none of you got to do it by yourself. Could you imagine if I just throw your ass out into the cold world, butt ass fucking naked, and it's 30 degrees, and I'm like, go out there and try to lose your weight, try to find all this stuff. You got us. You come on these calls. You can go to Ask Coaches. You can post on Facebook. You got so much help. You're drowning in it and you don't even know it. And all you're doing is sitting there playing it safe by saying, well, I'm not going to plan and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. And when you do that, you throw away the opportunity to have a better life. You're throwing away an opportunity to finally let go of those food rules. You're throwing away the opportunity to finally be someone who can be flexible with their life. who can be flexible with other people, who can be flexible with themselves. No more throwing shit away. It's not worth it. Okay, we got one person who wants to get coached today. I'm gonna call on her, Kimberly. And if nobody else wants coaching, guess what? Corinne ain't gonna sit here and like tap dance. If nobody else wants coaching, we leave. Okay? So use it or lose it. Let's see, we got some questions though, so I'll get those. All right. Kimberly, let's get you camera on. Get your camera on. Oh shit. Kimberly, I just took you down like an asshat. Raise your hand again. That's my fault. I hit the wrong damn button. I was going to ask you to show your camera. So Kimberly, if you're listening, you got, yeah, there you go. And then just turn your camera on. Day five of sitting by my husband in, that's a long CT something after heart surgery. Frustrated that I overate and drank each night. I know about nervous system work and planning, yet it's like I've entered the fuck it zone. You probably have. That's not a big deal. All we need to do is explain to ourselves, I've been sitting like my husband's having heart surgery. I've been sitting in the ICU. What we want to do is we want to find out, what am I eating over? It does not matter that you've been overeating. You need to just set that frustration aside. It makes complete sense. You are in a situation you're not used to being in. So, of course, your nervous system went haywire. And sometimes we are in fresh ass situations that aren't normal. It's not like you're in the ICU at least once a week every month where you get plenty of practice on how to show up during in the ICU. No, that doesn't happen in real life. So, all that's happened, Sylvia, is that you've probably been freaked out about something. What are you worried about? What are you scared of and stuff? This is where, like, after you've now noticed that you've been doing the fuck it eating. So obviously, right now you're in a logical state of mind, Sylvia. Right now is a really good opportunity for you to sit there and say, this is what's happening for me while I'm sitting here. It makes sense why I'm eating. So now that I know this, what do I want to do now? And we do it from calm, and we do it from reflection, and we do it from like, I'm going to be my friend because probably I need one right now. And I don't need to call a friend, and I don't need people to come visit. I need me to friend me first. And how am I going to do that when I'm scared, when I'm worried, whatever's going on for me? And you write about that so that your brain can see it and feel heard and understood. All right. You ready, Kimberly?
Yes.
All right. What are we coaching on today?
All the above.
Okay.
So
Take one.
I am not the best planner, but I do it. I am so much better than I ever have been before as far as knowing what I'm going to eat. I'm not a grab asser. I'm not a any of that. I'm not a snacker. My problem is n enough. And you coached me before and said, well, what's keeping you eating? And we talked about that it was fear of hurting somebody's feelings. My husband makes the food and all that's better. So I stopped all that. And I think what has triggered it this week is that my brother, I'm not super close with him, but I saw him and he had lost a lot of weight. And of course, that conversation started, but he's doing jackass maneuvers that I do not want to do. He's working with a weight loss clinic. He's taking some sort of drops. He's on a super restrictive diet, which I don't want any parts of. And I know that. But it still has made me think maybe no BS is BF. Maybe this really isn't the right way. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should restrict carbs. Maybe I shouldn't
Okay,
be
let's
kind
go
of.
there. Let's do
Okay.
that. No
Okay.
BS is BS. All right, we're gonna make that a fact. It's crap. Doesn't
But I
work
know
at
it's not. I know it's not.
all.
That's
Oh,
the
no way.
thing.
That's not
No, I
true.
do.
No. You can't take it back now. The words are out in the world. There's 10% of you that believes this is crap. And when we got 10% sitting around questioning, you should probably listen to it.
Okay.
Otherwise, Now you're trying to like argue with me, like, well, what I really feel is just not true. It's like, no, it is true. There is a piece of you that's worried this doesn't work.
Right.
Now, when I say that, how does that feel?
Like a knife in my heart.
Why? I would think it would
Because,
feel like relief.
no, it doesn't, because that's really what the problem is that I get myself scared that this really isn't it, and that maybe I should be doing this, or maybe I should be doing that, and all the jackass things that I've done before to do it. That's
But why
really
is that
the crux of
scary?
it.
Why
I
is it
don't know.
scary that you have all those thoughts?
I guess just knowing something that's powerful enough to counteract it of no, I know this does work. And I think the thing that would help is if I saw the scale moving in
Right.
a more
I want
predictable
you to,
way.
I know you think that's what would help, but I think the problem is right now is you're not admitting the truth. The
Okay.
truth is, I am scared this isn't the answer. And you're
Okay.
like, rather than just, let's just lay it all out truthfully on the table. It's like you're wasting time over here. No, I need to believe this. And if I don't believe this, then I won't be able to do this. It's like you're spinning out in like what I just call wasted energy. There's nothing wrong with admitting and saying, I'm afraid this won't work. Like when we say that, when we like, I want you to just really think about it. All right. So take a really big deep breath. Okay. Now, really check in with your body, not with your mind. Okay. And I'm just going to say, Kimberly, I think there really is a piece of you that is sitting around and it's just afraid this isn't going to work. What comes up for you then?
That you're right.
Okay, so am I right? Is this not going to work for you?
I don't think so.
Okay, and tell me why.
Because I believe 100% in my smart nurse practitioner brain that this is absolutely rock solid. The thing that
The
I'm.
stuff your brother's doing?
No. His is jackass. What you are talking about is 100%. Right on the money, 100%. I believe that with all of my being.
Okay.
But because I'm not seeing the scale move at what I think it should, I know that there's somewhere that I need to tweak and to keep going. And so far, I've been able to get myself out of that headspace, if I'm only
We don't
seeing
need
half
to
a
get out,
pound.
but this is the thing. I don't think you need to get out of that headspace.
Okay.
I think you just don't need to give it a lot of energy. I feel like
Okay.
you're working so hard to not believe this won't work and to convince yourself that what your brother is doing is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's fine, but I just feel like that's just normal things people would think.
Okay.
I don't think we have to spend a lot of energy convincing ourselves otherwise. If you already believe, like, when I'm not in the duder about the scale not moving, I 100% believe this will work. But when the scale's not moving, I understand why I would doubt it. Isn't that a lot easier than, but then my brain says this, and then my brain says this, and I shouldn't be believing this, and I should be doing this. Like, y'all come in like hot and bothered when you're doubting. And I'm like, oh my God. We are doubting beings, doubting human beings. When something isn't going the way we think it should, it is very normal to doubt. That doesn't mean we don't believe.
Okay.
It just means, you know what? I'm not seeing the scale move. Of course, I would doubt this would work. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on trying to convince myself it'll work. Probably should spend my time on like, all right, if the scale's not moving, where am I still overeating?
Okay.
So where are we still overeating?
I definitely, I would say, like unintentional over the weekend. I have a plan of what I'm going to do, what I'm going to eat, and it's telling myself that it's a fruit, it's okay, or it's salad, it's okay.
So
It's
we're
the
overeating.
justification.
We're doing
Oh
what
yeah.
we're doing morality eating. We need to watch out for all of our morality eating.
And momentum eating.
Let me ask you, if you had like a getting like kids or grandbabies or anything like that? You got a dog
Well,
or cat?
no, I have nieces and nephews.
All right, let's take a small baby niece. And you've got a lot of healthy food in the house. She just came home from lunch and she wants to play. And you're like, yeah, but we've got a salad. She's like, well, okay. So she eats salad. And then we go about another hour or two and she's wanting to play again. And you're like, but I got apples. And you give her some apples. And you just keep feeding her all this healthy food. Although she's already got plenty. And her body ain't asking for any, but you just keep answering like she stubs her toe. Here's an apple. She gets mad at her mom because she wants to go home. You're like, well, let me pack you a salad before you go so that you'll feel better in the car. That's kind of what you're doing. I don't care. And you've got to really be mindful of, I don't care if it's an apple. I don't care if it's a salad. I don't care if it's two heads of broccoli. If you have switched from eating junk to cope to eating healthy food to cope. We just haven't stopped coping, or we haven't figured out what we're coping over yet.
Okay.
So what are we coping over?
If I had to guess, I would say it's just like the incident that I'm thinking of was yesterday, and it was we were watching Netflix sitting, and it's just my husband was eating, and it's a little bit of momentum. I started out with my good intention. I had what I was going to eat, but then it very quickly went to shit and kept going and way beyond what I
Why?
had planned. And
Why?
I the only thing that comes to my mind is fitting in, and I was still ruminating over the thought of this doesn't work anyway, so I got to figure out something else on Monday, which is why I'm
So
on
I'm
here today, because I know that's not the right answer. Definitely not.
I'm sitting there next to my husband and he's eating.
Yes.
And you had planned to eat something.
Yes.
And were you hungry?
Yes, when I started, I was.
Okay.
I was.
And what did you eat?
We had a pear, or I had a pear. I had some pistachios. And the thing that I went overboard on, which what I was not intending to do, was some cheese ball and some little pretzel things that you put the cheese ball on.
Okay. And I love how you told me that you're a morality eater, and then you give me cheese balls and pretzels as what you
I know.
actually ended
No,
up eating.
no, because I kept going on the fruit too, thinking, it's fruit.
It's all right. So here's the easy solve for morality eating. From now on, when you hear you're very in tune to it. So
Yes.
it's not just happening. It's
No.
not sneaking up on you. None of that's
Nope.
happening.
Nope.
So that's always good. Whenever we have a tornado siren in our brain, that's just like alert, alert. Your health of your You're conning yourself into eating. Now we just stop. Because if it
Okay.
all it is that stopping's not hard. If really
Okay.
the only thing we've got is justifications and excuses, dead stopping is 100% easy to do. Because it's like it
Okay.
makes sense. Because you'll think like, oh yeah, like I'm unwinding my morality eating. I'm unwinding my like basically my free pass
I think
to
it's a
eat
little bit
things.
momentum too.
Well, momentum the eating is easier to stop than that.
Right. Okay.
Momentum eating is the easiest of all to stop because you know you're doing it.
Okay.
It's like I can see myself.
Right. I could
Like
see myself doing it and thinking, this is not what you said,
Yeah. Well, so in
and
that moment when you said that, this is not what you said, what else did you think right after that?
I don't know that I thought anything other than something like a might as well statement.
All right, that's a thought.
Right. I'm assuming that's what it was because obviously I didn't have a more helpful thought because I didn't stop and I saw myself doing it. I knew I didn't plan to do it, and when I was doing it, I didn't have anything more beneficial other than it must have it's just been it's not going to matter type of thought. But I will
So now,
say,
like, well, let me ask you this. Well, no, tell me what you're going to say. Let me
what I was
write
going to
this down so
say
I'll
is
forget.
okay. And so then, this was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So when dinner time rolled around, I knew I was not, but just a tiny bit hungry, certainly not to the level of the food that my husband had made. And I did manage to only eat a few bites of it and felt no remorse, no guilt, no nothing, because he doesn't give two shits about what I eat and don't eat. He really doesn't. I mean, he had
The
no
problem
thought
is
about,
you care too much about it.
I know, I know, I
Yeah.
know. But I did feel like that
You're
was a plus that I was not, I did not continue to have momentum through dinner to say, well, I've already screwed this up. I might as well eat the whole bowl of soup.
Yeah,
So I feel like that was a
so this
plus.
is good to, right, this is good to know. I want you to really remember this. I already know how to stop momentum eating. I also already know how to stop when I know, like, this is it. Like, I don't need to be doing this because you
Right.
did it in that moment.
I know.
So,
I
we
know.
need
I
to
think I did.
figure out why there are sometimes you choose not to do what you are skilled at doing.
Okay. That's very
You
good.
have, yeah, well, you have the skill.
I do.
If you were never able to do that, then we would need to be
Nope.
working on those things. But there's a part of you that's like, already autocorrecting. You're like the little squiggly. Remember how we used
You're
to get a
right.
squiggly and now it actually just fixes it for us? Well, you're now an
Yes, you're so
autocorrect
right. I am. I am.
So
And I can see myself doing it. It's like I have an overview of myself. So this has been several weeks ago, but someone brought in some of those little snack packs that have like nuts and M&Ms and that kind of crap in it. Having a very stressful day, I saw myself pick it up, and the smarter part of me said, "Why are you picking this up? Put it right back down." And that was all. It was there was no beat down. There was no other conversation. So I am way, way, way better. I mean, 1,000,000% better. And then
So
the
the
other
question
thing is,
is, go ahead.
well, I was going to say the other thing is one time you coached me on leaving the food at a restaurant or bringing it home or whatever and all that angst about that. That's way better. It comes home and if somebody eats it fine, if somebody doesn't, it doesn't. And the thing I say to myself when I'm sitting there looking at the plate of the food is you can bring it home in a box or you can bring it home on your ass. It's up to you.
Okay.
And that helps me tremendously because I'm not bringing it home on my ass. So,
So
today I
let me.
sat down and had a meal, had breakfast and out and didn't have any problem bringing it home. It was so that's 1,000% better. It's just this one little thing.
And the one
Go
little
ahead.
thing is what?
Like what you said, that I'm not, I'm able to see it, but I'm not autocorrecting this last little bit.
So what do you think needs to happen now that like I am really good at seeing all of this? And when I see it, there's a lot of times I'm like already autocorrecting. Like I know how to stop it. I'm just doing it now.
Yes.
But there are times when I'm like watching myself, because the one thing that I'm not sensing from you, unless I'm wrong, is these things are not just happening to you. You're actually watching all of it happening. You're hyper aware now. It's like, I don't just find myself eating. I
No.
notice I'm like going in for cheese ball and my brain says. So,
Yes.
what we want to do now is how do we get better at the moments where you see yourself using justifications, frustrations, and statements of this won't matter. I'll just start Monday. We've got to figure out now who am I going to be in that moment? Because that train of thought doesn't stop for a long time.
Okay.
Okay, so now what we got to do is now we have to overview ourselves, not just eating. We have to now do the overview of like, oh, not only am I eating, but I'm negotiating to keep going. I'm using slick Willy statements. I'm like, because if I questioned you on all of them, if I was like, okay, tell me, Kimberly, when you say this doesn't work, why bother? Logically, what do you say to that?
I
That's
know
not
that's not true.
true. I know that's not true.
Yeah,
Right.
I know that's not true. I mean, I
Exactly. So
believe
we
in
have what we
you
need.
and your program 1,000,000%. And I've got enough through my career, education, and training to know that you're dead on the money. It's just that I need this one little piece of, because typically I can say, no, that's not for me. No, that's not what I'm going to do. I've set my minimum baselines like with every other thing. And that has helped me move forward. And I know that when I saw the scale, I'm very, very salt sensitive. So I saw it jump up a lot over the week. I have to weigh every day because it doesn't mentally mess me up, with the exception of overall for the week, I want to see some negative. So it doesn't bother me when I see, you jumped up 2 or 3 pounds overnight. And then it comes on down. But I'm not seeing the overall trend of movement down to the degree I want it to. And so when my brother was going on about his 17
Right. So
pounds
that
and
will,
my,
like, let me just say
go ahead.
this. If you have an expectation of the scale and it's not meeting it, it will always be frustrating.
Okay.
Like, I have an expectation out of all of you, and when y'all aren't meeting it, it would be normal for me to be frustrated with myself that I'm not doing a good enough job. Now,
Well,
I
I
don't
think
live in it,
the one thing I'm
but.
doing well, though, is that I'm not letting it derail me. So,
Well,
I've
you kind of are. You
okay.
said you it doesn't bother you unless we don't like if it really wasn't derailing you, you wouldn't even need the word unless.
Okay. That's kind of like
Okay.
my butt I used to use. My butt.
It,
You told me to quit
yeah,
saying
it's
butt.
like, but like, and it's okay to admit that, to say
Okay.
there's a lot of times when I'm weighing all the time that it's really helping me. And then there are certain times when I know it's really hard for me.
Okay.
And when I admit that, then I know that during the hard times, I need a plan. Because right now, your plan is hope that it goes down because that's the only thing that'll make me feel better. Instead of like, I need a plan for when I'm frustrated. I need a plan for when it's hard. I need a plan for me. Otherwise, I will die by a thousand cuts. I will be eating pistachio or cheese balls and pretzels on the couch. Because it's like a long tail effect. I'm letting these little things where when it gets hard, I don't have a plan for when it gets hard. I'm doing
That's
great
exactly
when
what
it's
I need.
easy. Yeah,
Yes,
like I
that's
do great
exactly
when it's
what I need.
all like easy and I can watch myself and all this
Yes.
stuff. But when my brain, like one of the things I wrote down is for you, is there's some moments where I doubt. And that's how we know we just know this is happening and we don't want to fight this anymore. We don't want to work on our doubt. We want to work on how do we show up when doubt happens?
Okay.
Because from now until you lose weight, the scale is never going to act the way you want it to 100% of the time. From now until you lose all of your weight, there are going to be times when your brain is going to say, why bother? I can just start over on Monday. I don't know if this is working. There's going to be times from now until the end where other people you know are losing weight faster than you. And you're going to feel like I must be doing it wrong. This is not working, blah, blah, blah. Like, y'all forget, we're not here to erase all of those thoughts in order to lose weight. We are here to know what is natural for us. So that when those moments are happening, the harder moments, we are equipped with what we want. How do we want to be there for ourselves in that moment? Because I don't think the things that you use when it's easy are going to work in the moments when it's hard. If when you say, like the whole M&M story, and you didn't eat that, and you're just like, nope, you don't need that, whatever. That's fine in that moment because in that moment, you weren't feeling all of this other stuff. In the moments when you're sitting on the couch and you're eating your pear and pistachios, and you've been triggered by your brother, and your brain's been slowly ruminating and like, I don't know if this is working. I don't know. It's been doing that for like, 2 days under the radar. And you're sick, and then your husband's eating. You're just like, psh, fuck this. This doesn't work. This is not going to happen. That's the moment that you can't just say, you don't need this, because in that moment, you need something else. You don't need to yell that in that moment. You've been yelling for 2 days. You just didn't know you were yelling.
No, I did. I did
Well, in
because
that
I know I'm
moment, then,
stewing on it.
okay. So we get better at catching when we're stewing, and we decide when I'm stewing on my brother, I want to be able to tell myself, hey, I really do believe in Corinne's program, but sometimes I doubt. When I see somebody else doing something else, even if I don't want to do that stuff, it would be natural for me to doubt. It would be natural for me to be envious or jealous. That's just being a human. But I think what was happening is you never had that conversation.
No.
And we need to have that inner conversation. And then when we have cheese ball and pretzels come out, we need to be able to say, hey, you can have this if you want it. But that does, like, we're not going to try harder on Monday. Like, whatever your brain is saying, like, well, you can just start over Monday and say, like, no, I'm not
That's
starting over.
mostly
I'm never doing that ever again.
gone away. I don't really, I really, 'cause I did perfectly fine today, you know, so I'm not that
It's, but
yesterday
it's not
is
that
not
you
rolling
start
into
over. I
a big.
understand that, but that is the sentence you said to yourself to get to cheese ball and pretzels. That's what I'm saying. Because I wrote down, you had said, how do you want to reply to, I'll start Monday? Even if you're not starting over on Monday, when you get logical, you just immediately get back on. It's in that moment we have to start telling our brain something different. We have to say, like, look, I don't start over on Mondays anymore. If you want a cheese ball and pretzel, have a cheese ball and pretzel, but really understand why you're doing it. You're eating it because you're frustrated. This is not momentum eating. This is not because you can't lose weight. This is not because no BS doesn't work. This is literally because you're frustrated with the scale. And you have to call it what it is. Because if we don't call it what it is, we spend a lot of time trying to convince ourselves that no BS works and trying to convince ourselves that we really don't want to be doing all these other things. It's like, that's, you're never going to lose weight doing that. You'll waste time, but you won't lose weight. You
Well,
might
I'm done
feel
doing that.
better about staying in no BS, but you're not, like, I don't want you to just feel good about being here. I want you to
I
love
don't want
being
to
here
be
because it's working.
right.
Like, I don't want
I would love
anybody's
that.
money. So what I would do is I would get better at calling out what the real problem of the moment is, especially when you're this self-aware. Because I would just imagine this for a moment. When you were sitting on the couch and your brain is like, who cares? I'll just start over Monday. It's not like this is working anyway. I don't even know if no BS really works. Like, all of that was kind of like running. Okay. Now, let's imagine that in that moment when you hear all of that and you say, like, or it's like, this is momentum eating or just whatever's going on. Your explanations that are happening or justifications. If in that moment you just said, you took a deep breath and you said, you know what? You can have cheese ball and pretzels, but we're going to eat it telling ourselves the truth. The truth is, I am frustrated right now because I'm still overeating at times. I am frustrated because my brother is doing some jackass diet and losing weight faster than me. That is the reason why I'm eating right now. It has nothing to do with anything else. Do you Like, is there a part of you that thinks that maybe you would eat differently in that moment if you said that to all of those thoughts?
I think so. I think so because I think I'm there. That sounds very rational and doesn't feel punitive in any way. And I feel like that would be, that's what I was hoping for with you, is just a good, help me realize what I'm doing so that I
Yeah.
can, because that doesn't feel painful at all, you know.
Yeah.
And I know I'm
No.
1,000% better because today wasn't a shit show, which
Exactly.
historically it has been, you know. You know, if the scale wasn't perfect, that historically has been a shit show. And you know, 2 or 3 weeks in of quote being good and things weren't progressing, that would turn into a shit show. So all that's way, way, way better. And I'm trying so hard to give myself credit for all that stuff. But you're exactly right that this was just about being frustrated with him being ahead of me is really what it is. Because historically, I've been the one that's given him information about how to lose. And it just feels like the student has become the master, and I think that's really the problem. You're so smart.
Well, and you can just remind yourself, good for him. He's found something that's working for him right now.
Right.
I don't think that works for me. And time will tell if it really works for him. I don't think the student has become the master. I
I don't
think
either,
he
because I think
did.
it's going to be a miserable mess once he quits doing what he's doing, but he's
It
got to
could
do what he's got to
be,
do.
or it may work for him. We just don't know. We don't want to
Right.
predict, and we don't want to wish ill on him. But what we want to do is just remind ourselves, it's like the student is, he's still a student too. And if you think about it, he's not mastered anything yet.
No.
Now, if in 10 years he's still doing all this and lost weight and loves every ounce of what he's doing, we can call him a master.
He'll
But
be
give him
broke by
10
then
years.
because he's paying a fortune for this. All
Well,
well, we
there's
know you hit on the right thing because
downside
it's made
to
me
all of
cry.
it,
Yeah.
You can always say, like, hey, let him do it. At least I'm not spending a fortune.
Right. Exactly.
I'm pretty much, I think I'm like the Payless shoes of the diet world right now. I'm like, oh
For
God, we're
sure.
such a deal.
Well, but
But I mean, it's.
the thing that's most important to me is it more than it's the money, it's that it works and that the philosophy jives in my head.
Yeah.
That's what really is different for me with you, is that the philosophy jives in my head.
Well, the last thing I just want to say, just to, because I think this is helpful for a lot of people, is when you call out, I know what's really happening here. I am frustrated. I'm frustrated with this. This really doesn't have to do with, and this wasn't your problem this time, but I'm just going to kind of give like examples. This really isn't because my husband is still eating, which sometimes for some of us is hard. This really isn't because I don't believe in no BS. I'm just doubting because this week I didn't see what I wanted on the scale. This like I'm eating because I'm frustrated because my brother is doing better than me and I'm used to doing better than him. And like when you articulate it that way, you have to feel some understanding of like, oh, now we don't feel so helpless.
Right. You're so right.
Yeah,
So
now
right.
we feel like, oh, I know what it is. And we also have things that now we can take to ask coaches. Now we have things that we can talk about in the Facebook group of like, I've really diagnosed this and I need to take it to the next level of like, how do I talk to myself in the moments when it's hard, in the moments when I'm frustrated and stuff? Because I haven't had to learn that skill yet. I've got these other skills. They apply, like, obviously I can learn to do things. I'm already seeing the progress over here. This is
Right.
just another area we have to make the progress in, okay?
Something you just said, though, I got to go back to, and I can't even remember now what you said, but it was something about, what did you say? I'll have to rewatch it. But I wanted to ask you something about it.
About your husband continuing to eat?
No, it was more about just being frustrated, and
That your
it
brother is ahead
was.
of you and that you're used to being
Yeah.
ahead of him?
And that's probably it, is I'm very problem solving oriented and able to think through everything and figure out the solution. And I think I've told you this before. This was my one, the very first time I coached with you. That's the thing I said to you is I'm tired of the sentence coming out of my mouth that this is the one thing I can't do because I'm done with that thought because I know I can do it. I've done it before.
You can do it.
I know it.
And
I know.
always remind yourself. I actually was coaching someone the other day on this. And this is just my thought. Okay. When we are naturally good at a lot of things, like when you can do a lot of things well, like anything that's put in front of you, like we have so many successful women in this group where they have been great in their job. And they have like gone to school and they got A's or like whatever it is. It's like your swath of accomplishments. And you kind of start building an identity of like, I'm really successful. I'm the kind of person that solves problems. I'm the kind of person who does this. Okay. That is really hard for people when they find something they're not good at yet. Because you're not used to not being good at something. You're very, like, for a lot of people, when they're really good at things, a lot of those things were easy for them. They weren't overly complicated. It doesn't mean there weren't hard parts, but overall, when they look at it, their thought about themselves is, I'm just really good at these things. I am just a problem solver. That's just who I am. So we have an identity locked in, and it never fails. There are some things in life we suck at. They are not part of our natural way that we are wired. You are probably a problem solvers usually aren't really good with feelings. You're too busy doing shit all the time. You're too busy solving the problems. What we're not good at is like
Nope, too
slowing
busy
down
making other
and
people
noticing our
happy.
feelings and fixing that shit and whatnot, because that's a whole different skill set. And then
Right.
when we stink at something, then we're hard on ourselves. And then we suddenly feel like, well, something must be wrong with me. It threatens our natural identity.
Okay.
And so the thing that I want to tell all of you for this, if you are this person, is I always like to remind myself, because there's a lot of things that are easy for me too. I always tell myself, Corinne, of course this feels awful because like you haven't done anything in a long time that was really truly hard for you. And when you're really good at things, you typically stick in your lane. Like, I'm really good at building businesses. I'm really good at coaching. Like, there's just certain things I'm really good at. There are some things I am not good at that I'm trying to do, like building deeper relationships. I've never been really good at it. I've had very few relationships in my life that are truly deep. And I'm not good at going really deep because I have been burned so many times. And I'm really trying to let people in. And I'm really trying to let people help me. And I'm really like, I've shouldered responsibility all of my life. And it has been just identity shattering to rely on other people. I go to bed crying sometimes because I feel so ashamed I need help. And I'm working through it. But that is like my
So,
stink
well, keep
zone.
going because
So,
that's hitting somewhere with me. That's
well,
hitting somewhere with me.
what people
So,
need to
how are you doing
remember,
it?
just a lot of watching myself and just making myself, like when it comes to relying on other people, it's a lot of telling myself, I know you're scared to rely on other people, but that doesn't make it dangerous.
Okay.
Okay. So for me, like when I'm not good at something, or when I'm like, trying to rely on other people, there's a concept where when we start getting into feelings work, where a lot of times we just conflate feelings. We kind of lump, like some of us who are not in the big feelings group, we have about five we feel. There's like thousands of feelings, but some of us just regulators are happy, sad, mad, calm, and maybe there's a fifth one. We just don't have that many that we feel. Well, for me, let's just take relying on other people. Like for a long time in my life, to rely on someone else meant I was going to get hurt, or it meant that it was life threatening. Like it was like literally some type of a threat. I don't live in that world anymore. But I myself hasn't figured that out.
Me
And
neither.
so what I've been working on is showing myself, all right, if I let someone do this, am I just scared because I'm not used to doing that? Or is it literally dangerous to let them help me? So let's say that let's just take something simple, like housework. Oh, I got a good example. So 2 nights ago, Chris woke up at like 10 o'clock and he was texting. And I thought, who the hell is he texting? I mean, like, we don't do shit after like six. So I knew it had to be Logan. And I knew Logan was upstairs. And I said, who are you texting? He's like, Logan. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, he's got an irritation and he was wondering if we had a humidifier. I said, well, what's wrong with him? And he said, nothing's wrong. I told him to just run a bath because we don't have a humidifier. We'll get one tomorrow. And he's like, I think his skin is dry. I was like, okay. Then the next day, I'm hearing from Logan, or no, I'm at the store and I said, hey, Daddy said you need a humidifier. Why do you need one? I'm congested as hell, is what he replies. And I start asking him questions like, do you think you have a cold? Like, I thought you just had an irritation. And so I just asked a few questions. Well, he's been sick for 2 fucking days. And Chris didn't diagnose it. Now, I immediately got angry. And my thought was, see, this is why you can't rely on Chris. Chris doesn't know dick about Logan. Chris can't parent like you can. Like, if Logan's gonna stay safe, it's all on you. Like literally, I'm in Publix and my brain is lighting up with all of this. So I took a big deep breath. And I said, Corinne, are you just scared that Logan has had a cold and you missed it? Or is this really dangerous right now? I was like, I'm just scared that like I'm gonna be seen as a bad mom because I didn't get Chris to ask more questions. I knew Chris diagnosis poorly. I went to bed. Like I just talked to myself through it. And I was like, this isn't that you can't rely on Chris issue. This isn't that you're a bad mother issue. Logan was fine. It didn't matter that Logan, we didn't know he had a cold for 48 hours. Like I had to show myself like, this is not as bad as you're making it out to be. This doesn't mean you can't rely on Chris to ever take care of him.
It's not that I have that thought that I can't rely on people. It's this that I'm not supposed to, or that I shouldn't have to, or you shouldn't need to.
Why shouldn't you need to? What makes you so different than everybody else in the world that you shouldn't need to rely on other people?
I guess just because I've never have had to.
That's not true. Who changed your diapers? You?
Well, other than as a baby, but I
Okay,
mean,
when you were in high school, did you just say, give me books, I'll stay at home and learn all of it, or did you need a teacher? When you go to a restaurant, do you say, I'll cook? I don't need you.
No, that would be a disaster.
But let me just show you. You're spending your entire life relying on people. When you drive down the road, do you rely on other people to not just use your lane, sideswipe you because it would be funsies? When you go to the when you go get your haircut, do you rely on the hairdresser to not, she's got scissors right at your neck. You're relying on her not to just snip an artery. Like, you rely on people all the time.
True.
It's 100% true. Now, what's also true is you have parts of your life where you think you should do it yourself for a reason, and you need to question those things. Because it's not true that you don't rely on people and you've never had to. You've spent your entire life, you spend every single day relying on people. You probably rely on your husband to stay alive. Or do you want him to just drop dead? Because you don't need him
Oh,
anymore.
him to stay alive. Yes. Yeah. I thought you
Yeah.
meant me rely on him to stay alive. No, I could be fine by myself, but right. No, I want him to stay alive. And
Yeah,
I
because
think
the truth,
that
but
this
this is
is.
the thing. I wouldn't be fine by myself because there's probably things I rely on him for. Comfort, love, friendship, humor, companionship. Otherwise, you just get rid of him. You're relying on him for lots of things. And that's okay. It's safe. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you can't handle things. But I would almost bet you that's the thoughts that are underneath it.
For sure.
And that's what you got to start working on. You have to start like looking for what you think it means and reminding yourself, this is not what it means. I mean, I spend my entire life relying on people. There's just sometimes I'm scared to let them. I'm scared to do it. And I need to know why. What does it mean about me? And that's what I should be taking to ask coaches. You start doing work like this, Kimberly, all of this eating. This automatic, like, if I just want you to think, if you could get to where you could be easy with letting other people help you, with asking for help, for, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for, right? Because, like, you're like me, we don't like to rely on other people. Then you can rely on yourself in the moments when you are frustrated at the scale. You then can rely on yourself in the moments when things are feeling hard. It bleeds over into that. Because if you have this idea that you can't rely on others, otherwise it makes you a bad person, then how are you going to go to ask coaches? How are you going to go so often and get your help, even in no BS, so often that it makes you feel like you're taking too much or that you must be bad? Like, we got to override all that.
I don't really feel that way because I will get on here to talk to you because you're the best at seeing through my bullshit.
How would you
And
know the
I've
coaches
taken
aren't better than me, though?
because your mind is so similar to mine as far as the way you think.
But you don't need a similar mind. You probably need people without our brain looking at your brain from a whole new lens who can offer what I'll never be able to offer you. I just want you to see, though, you've convinced yourself there's one person in this membership who can help me.
That's
I'm
not really
relying
true, though,
on
because
one.
I have taken it to ask coaches, and I don't know who's helped me. So it's not that I can say anything about anybody because it's
Exactly.
always been helpful, and I get that. But I just feel drawn to your wisdom, and I
That's
know they
okay.
have
I
your
mean,
wisdom.
yeah, and that's fine. I like, trust me, I love me too. So we're on the same
Good.
page. But I just want you to imagine, and then I'm going to move on to someone else. I want you to imagine if you're really only getting help every now and then. What if you got help every single time you had an overeat? Every single time you got frustrated at the scale? Every single time you didn't think you did it right? What if you'd gotten help immediately when you got triggered from your brother? How much faster would you be losing weight?
I'm sure immensely,
Then
immensely,
let's
because
just
I've
do
stewed
that.
on him for a week. I haven't had
Yeah.
overeats because of it until Saturday, and I feel like I was able to keep it together until then.
Yeah, you
But
were
it
able to
just,
keep your food together, but you left yourself stewing for a week.
for sure,
No
sitting in
way
a
to
shitty
live.
diaper, sitting in a shitty diaper, as you
Exactly.
said. I know.
No more baby rash for you.
Yep.
So
Yay. Good. Good.
I encourage all of you, though, like to think about how fast would I like to lose weight? If I want to lose weight faster, I should probably go to ask coaches 10 times faster than I do right now.
Okay.
And you can always come on my calls. I'm not saying don't come on my calls. I
Right.
just,
No, I know.
anything that I want to do and I want it so bad, I throw myself in it. And for a lot of you, using Ask Coaches in the Facebook group regularly, if you're more community based and stuff, is such a great way to do that. Except we just let our thoughts get in the way of moving faster. All
I think
right.
Ask Coaches is the right thing. I'm not the Facebook girl, but I think Ask Coaches, when I'm stewing on a thought, I just felt bad bringing it up because there are people that are very pro drugs and pro that lifestyle, and it just feels derogatory to talk about it. So that just added on another layer of bullshit in my
Yes,
mind of
right.
I'm sipping all this Haterade on this thing, and then it
Yeah.
just loops it all into I can see it. I do see it. So
And
I
you
feel like
would
that's a
never be
big win.
derogatory. You would be talking about your experience. Being derogatory would be like, hey, I just want to make a post and ask coaches and tell anybody that's doing anything other than no BS, you're bullshit. That would be
Right.
derogatory. Going in and
Right.
talking about your lived experience, never derogatory.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
As always, thank you.
You're
Thank you.
welcome,
Priceless.
Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Take care.
Okay. Now everybody's got their hand raised. Andrea, how can I think about really reducing inflammation? I don't feel good, low energy, and I don't know how to approach it from a way that isn't restrictive. Can you give me advice? Restriction is a feeling. If you've really got inflammation and you want to reduce it, you're going to have to cut out things that definitely are causing you to have inflammation, and then you cut them out. Then you work on why this isn't restrictive with the coaches, because you're not restricting, you're reducing inflammation. You can say like, oh, it's restrictive, or you can say, hey, every time my brain says this is restrictive, I've got to remind it, we're doing this on purpose for a reason. This isn't restriction. This is called reducing inflammation. This is called giving myself freedom to feel better. That's the opposite of restriction. All right, what we got? You're up. And I got your name covered up. Andrea, okay.
No worries. Hi.
A little window glance right out over the name category.
So I've been a member for years. I started off strong, kind of got myself off track, and then I've just been, I don't know, watching from afar, but afraid to not be a part of this group because I didn't want to give up on things. So I took a risk and applied for that mini groups with MJ, and I am part of one of those. I haven't spoke out there yet. This is the first time I've ever spoken out, so thank you.
Damn, look at you. You're like, I'm just going
But I'm
straight
already
to the
gonna cry,
hardest
even though
part.
I don't know why, but
No, you're fine. You go ahead. I'm looking up something because I've read something this morning about being on track and off track. But I can listen and do this at the same time.
no worries. So I've actually lost 4 pounds in January, as of today. Well, I guess we're in February, but because you kind of pushed the don't cherry pick what you want to do and don't throw away the opportunity, it made me raise my hand because I keep telling myself that to take advantage. I do half-ass plan. I kind of give myself categories or like choices at the beginning of the week just to have something written down, but I don't necessarily track what I eat every day. I did in the beginning. And
Why do you not
then
track what you eat every day?
because I'm, the usual excuses, I'm busy, I forget, I just am doing other things from morning till
I mean, if
night.
you're
And
legit busy and you're legit doing other things, we don't have a problem. Is there any other reason why you don't track what you eat every day?
No, I'm very busy and
Okay,
I
it's
just
fine. The
forget, and
reason
then
why
I'm
I'm
tired at night and I just am like, I'll do it tomorrow.
okay, so let me ask you this. Is tracking what you eat slowing down your weight loss?
I'm not sure. I think I'm focused more on. In my mind, I'm like, okay, let me start with the basics. Like you said, I've really been working on sleep and I've been working on water. I like water, so that's not a problem. But then now
So
I'm
we're not
trying
working
to.
on water. Never say that ever again. Because
Okay.
this is such a good distinction. I'm so glad you said this, Andrea.
Okay.
Because if you say I'm working on water when it's like I already drink water, number one, You're not giving yourself credit for being good at something. Okay, that's like the biggest identity damage that we do. The second thing is it makes your brain think you're really busy. If you naturally drink water, but you call it working on water, what does that translate to your brain? Oh, I've got all this work I'm doing.
Okay.
It's like you just drink water. It'd be like me saying, like, I'm working on using pens.
Okay. I do have to be
I'm
careful
working
of
on
that.
breathing. I
Right.
sometimes I just forget to do that. It's like, no, I just breathe. So that was like one little thing. So
Okay.
what other basics are you working on?
So paying attention to hunger signs and enough
Okay.
and I feel like I've gotten better at it, and I feel like where I mentally am kind of struggling a bit is I can tell I have enough early on, but the amount of it mentally seems so small that I'm like, am I going to be hungry in 20 minutes? Am I going to be hungry in an hour? And I know you said something the other day about eat enough to be full for like 3 to 4 hours, I think you said. But then I get into that, like, where I don't want to overeat, right? I am getting more comfortable eating smaller portions. And I see that, but it's like mentally in my head, I'm like, is that what I should have been eating this whole time? And
Maybe. But
yeah.
tell me this. Let me ask you a question. If we were just going to look at this like scientists, okay? We're going to look at the amount of food that's actually enough for you. Tell me like a logical reason why it would seem so small.
From a scientist, I guess I don't know. I don't know, that's hard. I just feel like,
Oh, well, go ahead. You finish.
oh no, I guess I just don't want to get to where like I feel super hungry later, but
Okay, but let me ask you this. Is it dangerous to get super hungry later, or are you just scared to get hungry?
I think when I get super hungry, then I make less healthy decisions and I
So it's
eat
not
things.
dangerous, though. It's not like you're going to drop dead.
True.
I mean, nothing bad's happening.
Well,
If
nothing bad in that sense, but in my head, I'm like, well, this is why I don't lose weight. Right? So
because you
I'm
get
like,
hungry.
because I am not. I guess I'm trying to get comfortable eating less, and I go to, okay, so what's the emotional thing? And then, obviously stress and being busy and all the things in life. But I definitely related a lot to the problem solvers not being emotional and dealing with feelings well.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's go back to my original question.
Okay,
And I'm
sorry.
going to give you an example. We're going to go back to the original question. And I'm going to give you an example. Let's say that you and I spent 3 months eating together, and we always ate the same amount. And it was a piece of cake this big, 3 times a day. Okay. Now, did we need this size of a piece of cake?
Probably not.
I mean, that'd be a lot of cake, wouldn't it? We were eating it 3 times a day. We probably wouldn't even have to. And I'm just using cake as an example. Like, it could be broccoli, it could be anything, a plate of food. All right. Now we realize, like, oh my gosh, we've gained 10 pounds. This is too much cake. And then somebody comes in and says, hey, here's how much cake you were supposed to be eating the entire time. And if you were eating this much cake every day for 3 times a day, like your body would be satisfied and you'd make it 3 to 4 hours before you need your next piece of cake. Now, do you think you and I would be on day two or the first day we eat this much? What do you think we're going to think about this?
If I was eating the other amount and switched to this, then it doesn't feel like it's enough.
Right. we're going to think, oh my God, that can't be enough cake. Not because this isn't enough. Our eyes are habituated to this. And anytime you change something that you're very used to, the brain's normal response is to, like, there's a problem. I don't care if what you're doing is actually really good for you and what you were doing was really bad for you. Your brain treats it as a problem because something that it's very used to has now changed, even if you're changing for the better. And so the brain doesn't just be like, oh, so good. I mean, let's just eat this little amount. Well, I'll just automatically switch for you. And, I will go against DNA and wiring all because of this. Like, no, the brain will always act the way it's going to act at first. It has to get used to the new thing. And when it gets used to the new thing, then it stops freaking out. Like, what if you get hungry? What if you do this? What if you do that? Because all it's trying to do is to get you to eat this much, even though it's bad for you. It only, like, the part of our brain that does that doesn't work in logic. It works in habit. It literally has zero ability to care about whether this makes sense or not. It doesn't function that way. That's why your brain freaks out. Sometimes
I've
just
been trying to
knowing.
tell myself a little bit like, you like that you can eat this much and feel satisfied.
Right. And that's fine, except
Yeah.
it's not true. You actually like this amount because that's how much you've always been eating. And so, what we might want to do is try a different thought, which is the reason why this feels like it won't be enough is because I'm used to this. And it won't take long if I keep eating this amount to where my body and my brain will feel safe, like, oh, this is our new normal. I've done this enough time to see I don't starve in 20 minutes, I don't get that hungry. These things that I think might happen don't. Now, there's a second piece as to why this happens too, which is I'm asking you to eat less food. Okay. Now, you tell me this. Have you ever done a diet in your past where you did have to eat a lot of less food and you did get really hungry and it sucked really bad and it felt awful? And you just, like, you weren't allowed to eat enough to feel satisfied. You just literally had to sit around, like, waiting for the next meal and hoping it would come because you're so fucking, like, I don't even feel like I ate at this meal. And now you're basically doing our last caller's brother's diet. Have you ever
Yeah.
done one of those?
A little bit, but I've never been a big diet person, to be honest. I won't say I ran, I used to jog a lot, but I've, run a marathon, blah, 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 but I'm not in that physical ability anymore. So I think before I could just exercise my way out of stuff. And I
Okay.
could eat different amounts back then, and I've done a lot of like trying to retrain myself and re work on these I used to kind of thoughts because that is when I first started what really was weighing on me. And I don't think it does as much, but I still do fall into that a little bit where I can't do the things I used to be able to do.
Right. But there's also, and that's true, and you're working on that. But what's also true is you used to be able to use exercise to cope with emotional eating. So instead of feeling better about my life, I'd go out for a run so I could eat to feel better about my life.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the swan song of a lot of exercisers. But the third thing that could be happening, which is I just want to close this loop for the audience, is if you've done really restrictive diets in the past, even though we're not restricting now, when you are going to eat less, the brain thinks it's comparing apples to apples. It's just like, oh, we're eating less. So that must be like, diet A, B, C, D, E that you did where we were starving and miserable, lost our hair, like whatever happens in those diets. And we have to calm ourselves down and remind ourselves, like, wait a minute, I am eating less, but this is apples and oranges. Before I was using calories or, whatever was going on over there, where my body was not in consideration at all. Now my body is the driver. So I might have to play with it a little bit for about 4 or 5 days before I know. And you just need to tell yourself this, because if one of your biggest fears is, what if I get hungry in 20 minutes? It's like, great. If I get hungry in 20 minutes, I'll eat something and then I'll know tomorrow to eat a little bit more. And then each day that I do that, eventually I won't get hungry for 3 to 4 hours. And I'll be able to visually see about how much to serve myself. And then I'll pay attention while I'm eating and I'll start knowing what those physical signals are, and all of it will come together. But it will take about a week or two. But I'll be learning the entire time. I'll be setting myself up to never have to like eat my face off later. Like I'll be helping myself with that.
That helps. It does help. I just thought I would see how it felt to see where I was at.
Well, how does it
So
feel to say where you're at?
wasn't as scary as I thought. I think that just kind of reinforced that I'm in a good place with kind of where I'm at and what I'm doing. So that helps.
Okay. So you've got a beautiful thought. You literally waited all this time to get coached and decided to do it. What most people would say is the hardest call of all to go get coached on, which is Corinne's call, because it's the biggest call, most listened to call, and it's me. I mean, let's just be honest. I am very direct, very in your face, correct? So, and you said it wasn't as scary as I thought. I'm wondering if you holding the line on enough and just seeing what will happen won't be as scary as you think it is.
Sweet. For sure.
Can you just tell me what your tears are about?
I don't
Don't
even
be
know.
ashamed. Like, I always, it's okay. I love when people cry because it means something just landed. It's like a glorious moment. It's not a shameful moment at all.
I think it's just kind of asking for help or, taking the time for myself is hard. As I
Yeah.
do for everybody and everything all day, every day. So it's just a lot. And I keep telling myself I'm trying to put myself first, and I put things in motion, and then when something happens where it takes away from time I've tried to give to myself, it's hard not to get frustrated in that, But I appreciate that I took the time to do this today too, because I wasn't even planning to listen to the call today, to be honest, because I've been working in the background while I was listening and all of that. And I multiple times thought I might take my hand down, and I'm like, nope, stay committed, do it, So it's hard to ask
Well
for help.
done. Okay, so this is what I would love for you to do. Do you use Ask Coach? I know you're in MJ's program, but do you use Ask Coaches ever?
I haven't, no.
Is there a reason why? Is it just because you don't like asking for help?
I think I just never knew what to ask. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to give you some stuff to ask because you just gave me a bevy of things that you should be getting coached on. Number one is, you should get some coaching on why it's so hard for you to ask for help. Let's really uncover that, like what you make that mean. Let's also get coaching on, here's another topic. I I have a hard time putting myself first. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little info on this one. I never like the term I'm putting myself first. And let me ask you, when I say to you, and you tell me how you feel, I have to put myself first. I'm going to put myself first. What comes up for you?
That anytime I don't and I have to be there for someone else, then I'm giving up on myself or I'm not staying true to taking care of myself.
Right. It's not a good thought because when you choose to help someone else, that doesn't mean you have somehow given up on yourself. It just means somebody else needs me and I'm choosing to do that. And I'd like to start understanding why sometimes I choose other people and put my things to side. I'd like to know why I do that. What am I afraid of? If I was to say no to some people, what do I make it mean when, because a lot of times when women say I'm putting myself first, it's fine if nobody needs them. But then the second when somebody needs them and they're trying to put themselves first, they equate it to being selfish. And that's usually the swan song of people who are always taking care of others. And we don't take care of others because we're just so benevolent and lovely. We take care of others because at the root of it, we're terrified of something. We're terrified of what people will think if we don't. We're terrified that a lot of people who take care of other people at almost at the exclusion of themselves are really trying to just control life, control everything and anything around them for fear something will happen. There's a lot of reasons why we do it because there's nothing wrong with being a giver. There's nothing wrong with taking care of other people at all, as long as it comes from a genuine heart. But a lot of times when you have a lot of fear, like when you say, I've got to put myself first, that usually signals to me there's probably like 20 to 30% of what you do that's not coming from love, it's coming from fear. Fear of what people will think of you if you don't. Fear that maybe they won't do it right and you need it done a certain way. Fear that it will seem like you're lazy. Fear that you can't keep everything together. Like there's a million reasons why women do it. We're very socialized to do this. We want to figure that out because it's really hard to live a life where you feel like you are either, it's either me first or I have to abandon myself and I have no other choices. It's either one or the other when there's a whole middle lane where we can take care of ourselves and other people and really enjoy our life. We can enjoy the person we are that takes care of other people and we know. When we're doing things that we really don't need to have our hands in it, we're just afraid not to for some reason. And we want to uncover those so that you can feel better. Because when you feel better, it's a lot easier to work on your weight loss shit. Because if that's going on, it's hard to stop it enough if that's the only way you take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think I've been slowly learning how to say no, or at least, no, I can't do that right now because I had this, but I could do it at another time or something like that a little bit. But
There's the last thing I want you to take to coaching. Your theory of busy.
he.
What is so funny that we never think about is we always think we're all so busy and we don't have enough time. And it's like we have a lot of time. We have 24 hours every single day. We just don't use them wisely. And I'm not saying you're wasting time, I think you're packing too much in, usually. Where we actually, there's maybe things that you are doing and you don't need to be doing them, but we hang on to them.
I am really busy, people. I have
Say what?
multiple jobs and things. So it
And
is a
that's
little
okay. Like,
challenging.
there are things like that, but it never feels good to sit around and call. Like, wouldn't it? Let, just try this on. When you say I'm really busy, how does it feel? I'm busy all the time. Because right
Overwhelming.
now, it can't, it feels overwhelming. It can't feel great because the action that happens from saying you're busy all the time means I have to cut me out. Okay, now let me ask you this. What if we really believed this? I am learning how to use my time so well that there's always time for me. And that doesn't mean that you're dicking around and you can have multiple. I mean, I run three companies. I understand. I got, all I've had today is a stinky little protein muffin because I had to go to church, pick my brother up. I had to create social posts before I even got on here for y'all in the groups. I got more calls after y'all. I don't end until 4. I get it. But if I spent my day declaring how busy I was, I would feel very overwhelmed. I would end the day eating too much. I would need to make up for all of that because I would be running hot emotionally. Now, this is what I tell myself. Corinne, you have obligations. And these are the things we're going to get done today. And we're going to figure out how to take care of you while we do them. Because I can tell the story one of two ways. Like there, I can't just tell the next call, y'all, I'm hungry. I gotta put me first. Can't coach y'all today. I put me first by never talking about my life as often as I can in a way that upsets me. That's the first line of self-care, is what goes on in your head. And when you have a life, if you've got four jobs, you really have to manage your mind because you have physical expenditure going out, which means you really don't have time for brain shenanigans, like overwhelming yourself by describing your life as busy instead of saying, I'm the kind of person that can handle four jobs. I handle it every day. And now I just got to become the kind of person who can do four jobs and also take care of herself while she's doing it. And that first starts with my mind. I get good at managing my mind. I bet you I get good at managing other things. I will get good at not overdoing because we already know that if you've got four jobs, you don't have time to be 100% people pleaser. You have to unlearn that part. And that's what's going to help you lose more weight than anything. All of that you can take to ask coaches. Not this week. Pick the one that you're like, either this is the one I feel like I could start with because it doesn't overwhelm me. It's always a good for you. That's where I sense is probably the best thing because you're quiet and it took a lot for you to get on this call. So let's start with like easy wins. Now, some of you are like bulls in a china shop. You're more like me. I'm just like, what's the hardest one? Let's start there. Like me and the first caller, we're probably going to pick like the one that's really like, this is the biggest problem in the room. I'm going head first. That's fine too. Because
All right, I'm
either way
in all
you
other
go,
aspects
you
of
got
my
to fix them
life.
all at some point anyway. You just get to decide where you want to start.
No, and that's true because I approach everything else in my life that way except for myself, and I don't know why that is, so I need to unpack that.
And that's another, add that to your list for ask coaches. You've got like 2 months of work already just from this one call. And like literally take something to coaches, really work through it until you feel something shift. It doesn't have to get perfect, but you're just like, I am thinking about this differently now. And then practice it a little bit and then move to the next one. And then you go back to coaches, you say, like, I'm ready to work on my next thing.
Okay.
And you'll want to, because when one shifts, you'll see how much better it feels. And then that opens you up to like, there's a lot of more ways for me to feel better now. And you will just notice that the basics will just get easier and easier, because now we're working on what's underneath and driving the, not be, like the fear of hunger and things like that. That it all comes together, I promise you.
Thank
Okay,
you.
Andrew. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Marcy? What do I do or plan when it's frustrating? I don't really understand the question. Can you expand on that, Ruth? Like when you say it's fresh, like what's frustrating? Are you talking about the plan or life, or what are you talking about there? Marcy, you can go ahead and turn your camera on. She says, what do you do or what do you plan when you're not losing any weight? You go to ask, like, I'm going to tell all of you, go to ask coaches and say, here's what I ate this week. Give them a whole week's worth of food and then tell them, like, I either stopped it enough or I didn't. I waited for a hunger or I didn't. You go and you tell them that stuff, they can do a quick audit and spot immediately why you're not losing weight. Almost all of you within a week or two, like a lot of you will say, I'm not losing weight and I'm doing everything right. And you're like, I'm asking, am I hungry? And I'm asking, have I had enough? Okay, those are the questions, and that's a great start. But then when we dig in, it's like, well, I mean, like, 80% of the time I'm stopping at enough, and sometimes I'm waiting for hunger, but other times I'm not. We got to work on that stuff because that's what's slowing down the weight loss. All right. Good, Ruth. All right. What we got? Let's go. Who am I? Hang on. Marcy. I have to keep moving my window around. All right. Let's go, Marcy. I think we're going. Well, she turned her. There you go. Can you unmute yourself? I
Have to
can't hear you.
unmute. Okay.
There you
Can
go.
you hear me now?
Yes. All right.
Okay. Okay. Hi, Corinne. Thank you so much for taking me.
Hope you're well.
So what I deal with is I had seen you and did one of your programs back in 2021. And after 2021, in 2022, my dad passed away. And after my dad passed away, I lost a lot of weight. Or I gained a lot of weight after my dad passed away. I was taking care of my mom and doing a lot of things for her. And I've always been one. I'm an only child, and so my mom has always been the type of person that I always had to take care of her. My dad and I walked around eggshells with my mom most of my life, and so I had to grow up pretty quick because I was always told, like, but by my dad, take care of your mom, take care of your mom. So I lost weight with you. In 2021, gained weight after my dad passed away. And then I got on a GLP-1, and I was on a GLP-1 and I didn't have food noise. And so that was nice because then I could deal with the other stuff. But because I was dealing with other stuff and not me, all of my stuff that I had to deal with, I pushed that aside. And so I dealt with my
Oh,
mom,
so you
dealt with.
dealt with like other stuff. You didn't deal with the stuff you were eating over.
Correct. Yes.
Ah,
Yes. And
let me take a wild guess as to what has happened.
so what happened was my insurance company stopped paying for me to stay on the lowest dose of a GLP-1.
Yep.
And so my doctor was like, you know what? You don't feel good on the higher dosage. We're not going to be able to keep you on it. And I was like, okay. So I had gotten down to 158 pounds while I was on it. Well, I was 213 when I first started it. Now I'm back up to 191. I've lost a couple pounds being with you. I started the 5 day and I'm doing this. So I just haven't dealt with my bullshit.
It
And
sounds like it's time.
It is. It's
Like, that's
more
all
of
I'm hearing is like, you know, I've tried not to deal with my bullshit, and all it's done is make me go up and down the scale. So if I'd like to stay down the scale, it's time to deal with the bullshit.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not good at reaching out for help. I
So
think
that's one
it's
of the things we got to get better at.
absolutely. Yep.
I'm going to tell all of you, there's hardly an OBS woman. There's some of you that can just listen to this all the time and do just fine and never have to ask for help and whatnot. I call y'all my unicorns. The vast majority of you, I was a unicorn. Okay. I didn't have a Corinne. I had to deal with my bullshit on my own, all by myself. I mean, my husband was not supportive. Nobody in my life was supportive. And I mean, like Chris never stood in my way, but he also ate chips in bed every night. He always wanted to go out to eat. He, you know, like if I wanted to, you know, cook healthy, he was like, "Can I just bring home McDonald's?" I
My
mean, if you see the way my husband eats, it is some bullshit. I laugh all the time. I'm like, how are we married? Like,
husband's the same way.
So I get it, y'all. I 100% get it. The only difference between Chris and me, or from some of y'all, when it comes to support, is Chris did believe I could do it. He just didn't want to do any of it, and he didn't want to have to be my cheerleader. On day one, he was like, "I know you can do this." That was the like, and we're done with our routine. We'll never say it again. Okay. So I had to learn to deal with my bullshit. Most of you are not going to be a Corinne. You need to use us.
I
And we need to
do.
figure out why you won't. You're
I do.
paying for it, you know, you've got to do it. So, what is stopping you from just saying, "I am uncovering all my crap and I'm going to solve it so I get to feel better"? What stops you from that?
I always feel like I'm too much, and I think it's because I felt like I was too much when I was younger,
Okay.
because I didn't have time to be a kid or need anything, because my mom needed it all and she never dealt with her stuff. So
So
just,
you learned this.
yeah.
And that's really good to know. So when you need help and your mind is saying, "No, you don't. You got to do it on your own. You're asking too much. You should just figure it out by yourself." Now we got to figure out, because the only way for you to not only lose weight, but just to have a better life, you have to dismantle that story, like one by one, as to why it's safe now to rely on others, why it's safe to ask for help, why, you know, this isn't like childhood anymore. You know, back then it was very real. And I always like reminding myself, like, I know where this started, and back then it was very real. And now I'm in a different place. My mind just hasn't caught up that I'm in a different place. This isn't like it was, but it's normal to have the same reaction. It's just like when I was talking earlier about, like, you know, if you make a meal, like if you, let's say you were on a diet where you had to restrict, and then you're here and it's like, I have to stop it enough. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to eat the things I want. I'm getting physically what I need versus other diets, but it's like your brain thinks it smells the same. It's like, this looks the same, so I'm going to treat it like it's the same. I'm going to freak out like it was that, because that was so bad. And I think that's what's happening now. It's like when you were little, it wasn't good for you to need help. You had to grow up. You had to handle more than you were supposed to. And now, when you, like back then, you needed help and you weren't allowed. Now I'm an adult. I need help. feels the same, but it's not. You actually have somebody in authority telling you, for God's sakes, ask for help.
And that's what I love about you, because I listen to all of your lives. I listen to MJ. Oh my gosh, I adore MJ. She has always, sent me messages back on Wednesdays, and I think that my biggest thing now is just I punish myself now, because I was able to lose all of that weight without that extra food noise, and now I have the food noise back, and I have learned to eat when I'm hungry, and I love that, and I love, stopping at enough. And then the one weekend I thought I was a big, like, oh, I can do this. And I went and I got popcorn from the movie theater, and my husband and I sat and watched a movie together here at home, because that's what we love to do together. And I stopped at enough with the popcorn. But then Monday hit and all hell broke loose. Like, things with my job, isn't doing good. And so I'm struggling with the issues now, where before I was on the GLP-1, I didn't have the food noise. I could deal with the other stuff. Now I have the food noise, plus I have other stuff that I'm dealing with. It's kind of like what you talked about. I think it was like the second week or something, where you just really have to learn to still do this even when all of the fires are being lit all around you. And so I think that's what I'm
Isn't that
struggling
a
with the
better way to
most.
go through life, though? I just want you to
It
think about
is.
it. That's the problem with the GLP-1 is it can keep you trapped in a life you don't want to be in. So let's say you were on the shots, like, well, I don't have food noise. So when my life is on fire, like, tell me this, like, let's just quickly. So shit happened at your job. Like you said, things weren't going good. How did that make you feel?
I felt powerless. I felt because things that are happening to us in our job, there's nothing we can do about it. So
Okay. So you feel powerless
and overwhelmed.
and overwhelmed. Okay. So we're on a GLP-1. We don't eat when we feel powerless or overwhelmed. But that doesn't mean we solve that. We just sit around feeling awful.
Exactly.
Now, in no BS, what happens is when you eat, we get a clear signal that you're feeling powerless and overwhelmed. And now we know that we need to coach on why, when all of that's happening, you choose to feel powerless and overwhelmed instead of choosing to feel understanding and compassionate with yourself.
Yeah,
Why
because
you
I
don't
never do that.
choose. Right. That's why we rebound our weight when we're on a GLP-1, because we're just not hungry feeling like ass. It's this, I have nothing against GLP-1s. Trust me, the next call is for the GLP-1 users. I think it's a glorious tool when it's coincided with working on your mind at the same time. Because what I watch people do is they go on the shot and they're like, but my food noise is gone. This is amazing. It's like the only thing that's amazing is that when you're not hungry, you can't have thoughts about food. It's suppressing your appetite. That is why your brain doesn't think about food. So it won't think about food in life's catastrophic moments. You don't stop having catastrophic moments simply because you're on a shot. It's like all other diets. Like there are just some people who can just white knuckle their way through a diet and just be like, okay, I'm not going to eat today, but I'm going to sit here and seethe and feel overwhelmed and powerless all day long. I'm not going to learn how to talk to myself in these moments. I'm not going to learn how to empower myself in these moments. I'm not going to learn how to like be there for myself, truly self-care. I'm not going to learn how to change my state. Because you're not powerless in this situation. You think you are. You've got options. Tell me your options.
I can reach out, ask for help, and
Like at
not
the
beat
job.
myself up. Oh, with the job,
Oh,
there. With the
how
job,
are
you
you
mean?
not powerless?
I still have a choice. I can stick with it and deal with, what they're putting at me, or I can find something else.
Exactly. But you didn't tell yourself in that moment. You were
Nope.
probably having a kumbaya with everybody else about how bad it fucking sucks. Then we're all just sitting here taking it in the ass hard all day. Like,
Yep.
instead of you rising above and saying, like, bitches, we don't have to take this. We can all go get another job. We also can just be like, I'm just gonna sit here every day. I don't give a shit what they want us to do. I'm gonna do it and take my happy ass paycheck home, and I ain't gonna think twice about them bitches when I leave this work. They don't have control over my mind. They might be able to tell my ass what to do while I'm here, but I'm anything but powerless. Wouldn't it be amazing if in moments of helplessness where you could find your power,
Yes.
instead of just feeling helpless
Yes.
and then having to eat and then feeling helpless about your weight loss? This is why I say, like, for a lot of you, I would not go on those shots unless you are ready to really do the mind work, which means I'll be on the shots and I am going to be so alert to my life. Every moment I feel helpless, every moment I'm overwhelmed, when I feel busy, when I feel angry, when I feel irritated, when I feel annoyed, when I'm bored, when I'm lonely, I'm going to look for every yuck fucking feeling and I'm going to learn to work on that stuff so that when I come off that shot, I actually am prepared to come off of it.
Yes.
Because food noise comes back, because your hunger comes back. There's nothing blunting it. And we're supposed to have food noise as humans. We're not supposed to cut it out. To me, food noise is a gift. When I'm thinking about food and I'm not hungry, or I'm thinking about food and it feels like I don't, like, this doesn't even make sense, I know something in my life's not making sense right now. And I want that. I don't want to be so numbed out that I don't have control over my life anymore. And I don't mean the external things. I mean Corinne's internal life. Just like last night when I was telling y'all earlier, like I'm laying there and my brain is like now suddenly worried and thinking about decisions I made 2 years ago. And like saying, you should have never done that and you shouldn't have done this. And next thing I know, I can't hardly breathe. I don't want. Like I did want to go get a snack in that moment. But I always know that when all that's happening, I'm just grateful to myself that I have learned. Oh my gosh, this is when we're supposed to be here for yourself. What do we need to do in this moment for you? That's the behavior I want all of you to learn. And you can't learn it if you're not reaching out for help, because you can't do that by yourself, not in the beginning. I've had my own help. I've had 6 years of coaching from my own coach. I have spent 11 years coaching y'all, which makes me a better coach, learning about all of this. Do not try to do this by yourself. It's too hard.
It is.
And I don't want y'all risking your amazing life that is sitting there waiting for you to take it because you're ashamed to ask for help. That is a poor excuse for not having the life you want. So, we want to remind ourselves, I am my mother's child, but that does not mean I have to act like my mother for the rest of my life. I am my mother's child, which means I don't have to go by her rules anymore. If what I was taught when I was young that I was too much and I shouldn't be asking for help and I needed to do it on my own, and then when my dad died and his dying wish was to take care of your mother and all this other stuff, like that's all fine and good. I know where all of it came from. But at the very least, in my weight loss, I will never be too much and no BS. This is the one place that I can get good at asking for help and figuring out that it's safe. Then maybe I'll figure it out in other places too, but I at least need to start here. This is the, like, you need to tell yourself, this is the safe place to do this. And you have to do it a lot. You have to remind, like every single time something comes up, you need to be in that ask coaches. You're probably gonna have to put that hand over that heart and be like, girl, you're safe. This is not being you being too much. I promise
Thank you.
right, so what are you gonna do? What's your homework?
I am going to, when I feel this way, I'm going to stop, like you said about work, thinking about what I can do and to stop myself from feeling powerless immediately. And then whenever I feel that I need that extra boost or I need someone to help me, I'm going to ask for help and not feel too much.
Yes, I would challenge you to not wait until you feel like you need it. I would challenge you to do it when you think you shouldn't. I promise you, the way that your brain's wired right now, it's probably catastrophe mode by the time you go to ask coaches. Like, this is the beautiful thing for all of you. You do not need to be a catastrophe. You do not need to be at your wits' end. You do not need to earn our help by doing things right. Like, nobody needs our help when they're doing it right. I don't even understand that philosophy. Y'all do this all the time. Well, before I go to ask coaches, I should be doing all the things. It's like, if you're doing all the things, you wouldn't us. Come when you need us.
So
But I want y'all to think about that. Your $59 guarantees you unlimited access. There's no earning it here. And it doesn't have to be a severe problem. In fact, it'd be better for most of you if you wouldn't come when it's in the severe category. When it starts drizzling, use us as the raincoat. Don't wait for a hurricane and then be like, can I have shelter? All right. Thank you, Andrea. Is it
Thank
Andrea?
you,
No, Marcy. You're
Marcy.
Marcy. Never
Marcy.
mind. I have your name covered up on the screen and I like just looked down. It was the first name I saw. All right, Marcy. Thank
You,
you.
Corinne. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Let me go through the questions. We only have 7 minutes before the next call starts. I've got a lot of questions. I'd love to know if there are any recommendations you have regarding lifting weights. My last weight training class was back in the early 90s, and now that I'm 53, I feel like I'm getting conflicting advice. You probably are. I tried to take a class at my Planet Fitness, but I didn't get the impression it was geared towards the menopausal women. Probably not. I'm just a big believer in lifting heavy for women. And heavy is relative to where you're at, and you haven't been there since the 90s, so heavy for you is going to be not that heavy in the beginning. And that's okay because what happens with muscle just adapts really fast. It really does. It doesn't take long. I would do full body workouts if it was me. I would start, if it's been a minute since you've done it, which it's been a minute, I'd probably start with one good full body workout a week in strength training. Do that for like 3 or 4 weeks. Let your joints, let your muscles and everything kind of get used to that. And expect to be extremely sore for the first couple of weeks, and then that will taper off. And then when you notice that each time you go and you're able to go up in weight, which pretty much you're probably going to be able to do in the beginning, and you're not as sore, or you just notice you're not sore. Like, I don't always get sore with everything. That's a big misnomer. You don't have to get sore for a workout to work. I have certain muscle groups that always get sore. I have certain muscle groups, I couldn't get them sore if I tried. They just don't do that. Okay. I would add a second week, do that for another 4 to 8 weeks. And then if you can get to three full body workouts, for most women, three full body strength training workouts is plenty to build muscle and it is plenty to keep muscle. There are a lot of good routines out on the internet. If you have access to a trainer and you just say at Planet Fitness, hey, I don't want a boot camp style. I don't think that boot camp styles are great for women. If you want to throw some HIIT in every now and then, that's fine. But boot camp style workouts are never going to allow you to lift heavy enough to do what you really need to be doing for your muscles. That's my personal opinion. Again, that's just Corinne. after that, if you start falling in love with lifting weights and you're doing full bodies and you like the 3 days a week and you want to do more, you can start doing now an upper day and a lower day. And you can do 4 days of that. So you can do like Monday is upper, Tuesday is lower, Wednesday you're off, Thursday upper, Friday lower. I have done all of these. I have done some full body in the last few years when I want to just do, when I don't have as much time, so I just do three full body workouts. Right now, I'm currently doing 5 days. So I'm doing like body parts. So I have a shoulder day, I have a back and bicep day, an arms day, shoulder and chest goes together. I'm sorry, shoulder, chest, back and biceps, arms. This was the first week I did this one. Arms, core, and calves. And then there's like one more. There's five total. I can't even remember what it, maybe I didn't say the lower body day. So then there's like a leg day. You can just kind of keep progressing. But just to get started, I do a full body. Now, if you go over to the exercise group, we have a no BS exercise group. A lot of people share workouts over there. You probably can get just one of them to give you like their full body. I have shared some of my split workouts. So mine's called a split workout where I'm like doing like a dedicated leg day and a dedicated this and a dedicated that. In fact, I just got a brand new routine. And so I was going to go to the exercise group hopefully this week. If somebody will tag me in their workouts, it'd be easy for me to find y'all. I was going to start sharing what my next round of workouts are over there. So I would highly recommend joining over there. There's a lot of women over there who are lifting and they're lifting really good, and you can get solid advice from them and accountability. Let's see, I can answer one more. How do I change telling myself that I don't care about losing weight or that it doesn't matter when I decide to emotionally eat? It feels completely true at the time because it is true. In that moment, it is 100% true that you don't care. Your logical brain isn't there. In that moment, it's 100% true that, what did you say? That it doesn't matter. Because you know what? It's just trying to solve whatever you're feeling in the moment. So, for all of you, what we want to know is, in order to fix that moment, is the next day when you've already overate, we need to figure out, like, so in that moment, what did I really need? Because think about it. If in that moment you're eating because, let's say you're grieving your father's death, just like our last caller. When we're in heavy emotion, we are in pain. And when you're in pain, your habit brain that doesn't care about goals and stuff takes over. Your logical brain leaves the room. It's like it literally just says like, "Hey, I'll be back. Call me when you're ready for me to come back in. When you've dealt with pain, I will come back into the room." The logical brain is the one that sets your weight loss goals. The logical brain is the one that makes your 24-hour plan. Your logical brain is the one that negotiates and thinks through things and like does heavy lifting decision making. So for a lot of you, unless your logical brain stays online, there's not a lot that you're going to be able to tell yourself in that moment. Now, if you can get really good at hearing it and you can say to yourself, "I know it, like right now, it doesn't matter. Not in this moment. I know in this moment, you don't want to lose weight because you're grieving." Because I think you said you're depressed. I suffer from ongoing depression, so I often feel like this is just another thing I'm giving up hope on and it will never change. I only care about it after I eat too much and feel like crap, because that's how it's supposed to happen. You're supposed to care about it after, because your logical brain comes back and says, like, "Oh my gosh, I left the room for a few minutes. And oh my gosh, you grabbed doo-doo out of your diaper and you smeared it all over the walls." And what most of us do is we start yelling at ourselves and we think that we have a big problem. Our problem is we can't yell at ourselves. Our problem is like in that moment, when we come back to ourselves, we have to say, like, okay, I'm probably eating for a really good reason. There's something going on, Because the only time I ever think it doesn't matter, and the only time I ever think that this won't hurt is when something's actually hurting, when there's something missing. Otherwise, I would never even think those things. I'd have no reason to. So I need to find out that. So we need to find out, like, what in life, like, I suffer from depression. I have since I was probably, I don't even know how long. I went on my first meds when I was 14. And I've had a lot of problems with it my entire life. I'm on meds right now. I know when I have to cry uncle and get my help, and I'm happy to do it. Very happy to do it. And I just have to work through what's going on in my life right now that depression needed to enter the room again. Like, where are all the things I can soften in my life and make easier for myself? Because this is a period where I'm depressed. And we start fixing those things. And then it's a lot easier for in those moments when you hear it to now say, like, of course you feel that way. You were in pain, or you'll know what the problem is. And you can say in that moment, the reason why I'm wanting to eat right now is because I'm feeling this. The reason why I'm wanting to eat right now is because I'm working on this. And sometimes what we can do and ask coaches is we can work through those things. And when you work through those things, you just don't have those moments. We've removed the root cause. But then sometimes what happens is while we're working on it, we're able to keep just enough of our logical brain intact so that in those moments we can tell ourselves what we need. That's not food, because we've planned for that moment. We know it's coming. We know we're going to have times when our brain's going to be like, I don't want this. You really don't want to lose weight. This won't really hurt. And we get really good at, like, oh, I made a plan that when this happens, I'm going to do this instead, because I think that's what I really need in this moment. So for a lot of you, often it's like you'll say, this won't matter. I'll start over tomorrow. I really don't want to lose weight. And what's happening is it's like 8 o'clock at night and you're really tired and you've been going all day and you've noticed you have a pattern of eating at night when what you really want is rest. But you feel guilty for resting. You don't want to, like, you just like this, it's not good enough for me to just lay on the couch and do nothing. Like, I shouldn't go to bed early. I shouldn't go to bed earlier than my kids. Like, I should be the one. I should this. I should that. And when we work through all that, what we realize is, like, in that moment, it's like, oh, on the nights when I'm feeling this way, it's nights when I just feel guilty for going to bed. But that's what I really need. So I'm going to go to bed. And I'm going to let myself feel guilty while reminding myself that tomorrow I won't feel bad about this. Okay. That is the end of this call. Now I'm going to stop the recording because I went over.